I think like everyone, I was hoping that we would close yesterday above 71,350 because that would have given us the highest monthly close that we've ever had. But we didn't. We closed at 70,124. And with that said, I mean, October was an October. We got 10.76% return in October, but it wasn't the slam dunk that we wanted, or at least it didn't even touch the average. But October is not really the problem. Here's my problem. The problem is the following. In December 2022, one of our guests, or one of the guests that usually comes on the station, he called for a, what he said was, he said that we were in the beginning of a major bull market. And basically what he said is, he kept calling for this bull market, even when everybody else was saying we were in a bear market. And I try to give you some perspective as to when this happened. This happened over here. In December 2022, he started calling for what he called was a blow-off top and a massive, massive, massive bull market. And we got the bull market. Specifically, if you look at the S&P 500 from December 2022, we're up 52% on the S&P 500. Now, the problem is that he posted this tweet yesterday, which said, when I said in December 2022 and how, what I said in December 2022 and how it's going, if the monthly candle ends like this today, then there is the risks that the Dow Jones has already topped. There is still a chance that we see 44.5, but the blow-off top is coming to an end for the Dow Jones. And then what he says is there's going to be a 60% crash. I'll blow this image up for you so that you guys can see it. Then there's going to be a 60% crash. Now, I was going to do the normal Friday banter, but when I saw this tweet, I basically said, okay, wait, let's pause the Friday banter. Let's get Henrik on here and let's find out what he means when he says that we may be getting a 60.65% crash. And when what he says, there's a monthly candle. He's talking about the monthly candle that ends like that. Let's see if the monthly candle actually did end like that and whether we are in the risk zone. So, slightly different show today. You know, I've been very, very, very bullish, but I've got to be open to all sides of the market. And so today is about potentially the end of the bull market. So let's get the show going, guys. I know you're all impressed if you're starting on time, and that's just how it's going to be from now on. So we're going to start on time regardless of how many people are here. So every single day at 15:15, that is when we're actually starting. So yeah, that's going to be the new way it's going to go. So be here at 15:15 every single day. No more late starts to shows. Also, I know we were going to do our normal Friday banter, and I've got the Friday banter, and that'll air tomorrow morning for you guys. Tomorrow on Saturday, we'll have a bonus show because I put that all aside when I saw this tweet from Henrik, because when someone calls something so perfectly and his thesis plays out so perfectly, and then he tweets something like this, which says if the monthly candle ends like this today, then there is a risk that the Dow Jones has already topped out. You got to ask yourself a question. Maybe this Dow Jones has topped out because Kamala wins the elections next week. Maybe that's what the charts are telling you. Because remember, the charts will tell you a story, but then usually the news will basically come out. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I mean, as I said yesterday, I was like everybody else. I was rooting for Bitcoin to close at the highest monthly close ever. We didn't actually close there, and to me, actually, that's quite good. Because I think when you want to challenge an all-time high, you want to make sure that you've sucked out all the people that have taken that run, and you want the new buyers in to take you to the next level. So to me, this is good. I think a little bit of a breather before the elections. I think it now comes down to the elections. 4 days to go to the elections. You've got Trump on Polymarkets at least at 61%, Kamala at 38%. There is going to be volatility because with 4 days to the elections, people are going to get nervous. And I think we saw some of that nerves yesterday in the stock market. So if you guys were watching the stock markets yesterday, and granted, it was a monthly close. Now, the monthly close, there is a lot of, I think you can say manipulation. I don't know if it's manipulation, but that was the candle that the stock markets put in yesterday. You had the S&P yesterday down 1.76%. So it was a brutal, brutal, brutal day on the S&P 500. And that obviously carried on to Bitcoin. And I think that's the jitters that we're going to get between now and the elections. I wouldn't be leveraged between now and the election, because whether you're long or short, if you're leveraged, you're probably going to get crashed out of the market. You're probably going to get liquidated out of the market. I would be staying away from leverage. I know for sure that you are going to get volatility. Anyway, let's talk about this today. I know a lot of you are a little bit upset about the thumbnail, and you're upset about, you know, how can Rand be bearish on us? Rand's not bearish. Rand's super bullish. But I have to bring you this from Henrik. just before we do, I know you're probably going to also say, why is he trying to sell me another VPN? I'm not going to try to sell you a VPN. I'm over those days. I'm just going to share a story, a real story that happened to a really, really, really good friend of mine. It happened this morning. If you watch this and if you see this and you still don't land up with a VPN, that's on you. But I just want to show you a real story of something that really, really happened to a friend of mine this morning. So some context. This is a friend of mine who I've been friends with for many years. We started trading crypto together. He still has a full-time job. He built himself about $100,000 to $150,000 portfolio over a while. And he's been trading really, really, really hard for about 5 or 6 years to actually, or since, 2020 bull market. He built himself a portfolio of about $100,000. Sure. This morning, he sends me this text and it says, hey friend, how are you? It's Trust Wallet. He sends me this message from Trust Wallet. On Trust Wallets for the 7th birthday of Binance, can it be a scam? I don't think so because it's on Trust Wallet. I said to him, it's a scam, don't open it. And then I saw the dreaded message. Shit, first time in my life I've been scammed. I said, did you click? He said, this is what I clicked. This is a typical scam. This is calculated on the amount of USDT you deposit. For example, you deposit 100,000 USDT, you get 10,000 back. I said, it's a scam. Don't click it. If you click it, there's going to be big trouble. He said, it looked like Binance. I got some money nice when you told me I took 50K to make sure it would be transferred back. Then it worked. 1 minute later, I tried to transfer 100K and it did not work. And my wallet was emptied. I lost 102K. I'm ridiculous. I said, dollars? He said, yes. I said, fuck, it's a typical scam. He says, I promise you they were good. I said, yes, I know they're very, very good. He says, fuck, I'm leaving crypto now. I'm going to take back my little remaining money and I'm going to work hard. I said, sorry, man, I did try and warn you. He says, I know, I saved 50K with that. You should have transferred everything back in one go. Should I contact the police? I said, it's probably a waste of time. The police are not going to solve any of this problem. Why am I telling you this? Because probably the reason that he got caught out here is because somebody got his information on the dark web and knew that he was a Trust Wallet client and they managed to track him down and they drained his entire crypto wallet. Now, the truth is that if he had Nord threat protection, then there is a massive chance that as soon as he got on that website, the threat protection icon would have come up and would have said, don't click this thing. This is a scam site. If he had a NordVPN and he was masking his IP address, potentially even with a double VPN, maybe they would never, ever have got to him. Now, I just want to show you like how crazy this is. For $3, he could have saved himself $100,000 and you've just seen it. For $3 a month. He could have saved himself $100,000. Get a VPN and get yourself threat protection. Look, just look at this. If he would have just had threat protection, he would have paid $4 a month. And he probably would have saved himself $100,000, probably. Now he's out of crypto. He's basically taken whatever's left. He's out of crypto. I mean, guys, you decide what you want to do. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. I've told you a million one times. If you do want to get a VPN, there is a link below. Get the VPN, get the threat protection, and don't get your money stolen. This is a real story. This is a real friend, guys. This is a real friend. Anyway, let's get into the alpha of the show today because I think that's what you guys all came for. And for that, I'm going to bring Henrik on. Henrik, nice to see you again, my friend. I think you've been a friend of the show, and you've been on the show since December 2022 when you had when you called for the blow off top. At the time, I remember everyone was laughing at you. It was the midst of a bear market. The markets were moving down. You were over here. You called this up market. I think since then, we have ourselves a 50% up market on the S&P. I think if we go to December 2022 on Bitcoin, I think it's even better. But let's quickly have a look at that. It was exactly, you actually called us exactly at the bottom. We've had a 400% run in Bitcoin. But that was then. Now we fast forward a little bit and you have now told us that you, at the time you said we are at the beginning of a major bull market, and now you're saying, well, maybe the Dow has actually topped, and if it has topped, then potentially we're going to see a 60.65% crash. That sounds crazy. Walk me through the thinking, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on again. So first of all, we are right in the midst of the largest bubble we have ever seen. That's one thing. Second thing is that if you study business cycles and you do it the way I do it, you'll see when you actually have an economy that is rolling over and when it doesn't roll over. It did not roll over in 2022 when everybody thought it did. but it's rolling over now. And it has, there are clear signals and signs for that. And what you all normally see into that is that you see a very, very, you know, euphoric kind of development in a lot of things. I'm not calling, let me just put this up right here in the front, for a top in Bitcoin at this point. I'm not calling for a top in NASDAQ. I'm not calling for an S&P top. But what I am calling for is that potentially we're now seeing with the Dow here actually making a reversal candle on the monthly, what would be either this month or this month we're in now, November, could be the top of the market. That doesn't mean that we move another 10% higher on the Dow. That means that we are very close to it. Again, I'm having a little caveat that's saying we may have seen the top. The thing is, we have reached certain Fibonacci levels that we should that I saw already in 2022, as you could see also in the tweet I did, and these levels have now been reached on the Dow Jones. And I'm not stopping like that. It's not like I'm just staying to that. But it's that we actually see now we also have a full cycle in terms of the full count on the Elliott wave. And we have this now also, if you look at the S&P and the NASDAQ also and other places, we start to see what is called divergences on the weekly basis. And that is not what you want to see. You don't want to see that even when the market moves up, and it's done that even since earlier this year, that when the market moves up, that the momentum comes out of it. And you do also not like to see that the Nikkei has topped in July of this year. The Nifty, I say, also has topped already. And you also see that there are small economies like where I live here in Denmark also has made a very big top. So people, you know, thinking, yeah, well, you know, we're all good to go. But we have to remember how bull markets end. They end when everything feels good. They do not end when everybody feels bad. So we are not there yet. And I'm not saying we don't have the euphoria in the blow off top that I talked about and I still talk about, because that will come in Bitcoin and in crypto and in altcoins and in the NASDAQ, especially in the NASDAQ as well. But we are getting close to it. And now today we saw the labor market numbers. My business cycle model has for a long time said we should see a deterioration in the job numbers. And we are actually... We have not seen that, and there are some strange signs that at least you know there were. If you look at the household survey and you look at the NFP the BLS numbers, you actually see that there is a difference between those, which is a bit strange. Not wearing a tinfoil hat, but just saying that my model tells me that the economy is rolling over, the consumers are struggling. You can see that in delinquency rates. You can see it in that the payments, interest payments on loans that we do, that the U.S. consumer does on the every month is, you know, through the roof, and nobody really feels good. Okay. So this is the environment where the economy rolls over. Okay, and that's guys, where we are at. We're getting close to it. The market will top out.
Okay, just guys, are you hearing a little crackle when Henrik talks? Is it Henrik, I'm getting a slight crackle when you talk. I don't know if it's maybe your mic or something, but it's a slight like crackle.
Okay.
Let's see.
Maybe I'll take my camera off then, and then see this camera off then, and see what happens. Hang on.
Okay. While he's doing that, guys, I forgot to mention that you guys should smash the like button. And because we are coming to you in slightly different time zones, we do need to let the rest of the fam know that we're actually here. So obliterate the like button while Henrik just adjusts his camera. In the interim, while he's doing that, let's just quickly go to the market open, because I think the markets have just opened or are opening in 2 minutes in the US. Let's just see what the NASDAQ futures are looking like, or the S&P 500 futures are looking like. Okay, we're looking at a slightly up open, like a 0.5% price open. Let's see if Henrik's back here. Okay, he'll be back in a second. We are looking at a slightly green open yesterday. One thing that I actually noticed yesterday is that Coinbase got absolutely destroyed. I mean, I might be actually looking for a small position in Coinbase, actually, to be honest, because I think at these kind of levels, probably good to look at. All right, Henrik, so you're back now. How do you reconcile this with the elections happening right now and the Fed rate cutting cycles? I mean, we know the Fed's entered into a rate cutting cycle. They got off the blocks with a 50 basis point rate cut, which was a little bit of a surprise to some people. There's a FOMC on the 7th of November, which is just after elections. What do you think is going on behind the scenes? I mean, Jerome Powell, do you think he's looking at this and going, okay, the economy is slowing down much faster than I thought. Maybe I should use some of my ammo. Maybe I should reduce the interest rates much, much, much quicker. Did he start too late? Walk me through the rate cut cycle here.
Well, I think I said that also very early on in your show. You know, we talked about the rate cuts, and I said, well, they should stop now at that point. I mean, that was 8 months ago, and they should have. The problem is that they have been way, way too hawkish for way too long. Is the sound better now?
Yes, it is. Perfect.
Okay, good. So the problem is that the Fed has been way too hawkish for way too long. And that what they've done is that they have killed the business cycle in a major way. Actually, they did that through the Corona stimulus that came out, which then sent inflation up, and then sent the yields up with it. So what we have right now is the perfect storm for a big decline. We have a business cycle that's coming to an end. We have the Fed is way too hawkish at this point. They should have cut by way more, way sooner. And we have the largest bubble in the world. So what's not to like about that? The political situation, first of all, I'm not sure that one or the other candidate will do it better. I think there will be a hype if Trump gets elected about crypto and so on that may, you know, help us a little on the crypto side. But I don't think it'll be a big thing in the bigger perspective, because what it's really down to is the business cycle. It's the real economy. It's the Mr. Johnson and Mrs. Johnson in the U.S. Losing their homes or losing their jobs and so on. This is what it's really about, and not so much in the financial sector. And I think that is sometimes where we think too much. We overthink the situation. What happens in the real economy, what happens amongst the consumers is what is important. And they are struggling right now. And this is what is slowly killing the business cycle. And you can see all the stimulus in the world will not change that. Because what happens when somebody... we see the rates are coming down, they will save $1,000, and what will they do? If they do not spend that money, if they say, well, we lost our jobs, we actually see our houses have been declining in value, and we've seen interest rates going up, and also inflation, am I going to spend that money now, or am I going to save it for a rainy day? I think a lot of people are going to save it, which means that then the money doesn't start to flow in the system. And if the Fed is on top of that, is a little late to start doing this, which they are already way, way too late, then you will have a lack which creates the deflationary bust to develop. And then the Fed will come rushing in and say, oh, now we try to save the world. But then you have the negative spiral going, and that is already going now. I mean, we are seeing that unfolding and right in front of our eyes.
So let me just make sure that I understand this and maybe even simplify it for the audience. What you're saying is that we had the stimulus stimulated the economy, or at least stimulated consumers, but the stimulus is now dried up. The man on the street now doesn't really have money. And so what you're starting to realize is that unemployment is going up and that people have basically run out of money to spend. But at the same time, there's a disconnect. And the disconnect is that when you look at the stock markets are pretty much at all-time highs, right? And so if the stock markets are at all-time highs, how do you explain that the stock markets are at all-time highs? What is the disconnect here? What am I missing here? Why? Surely the markets are not oblivious to what's going on. The stock markets are 1% and 2% away from all-time highs. And you're saying that the underlying economy that powers the stock market is not doing well. To me, that means that people are looking past this dip in the economy and saying, okay, the Fed's got this under control. They're going to reduce rates very quickly. And then the market is going to go up. Is that not a more logical,
That is the way that everybody tries to explain this. But did we actually check this? And did we actually check what we see every time we see that the situation we're in now, where we have a slowdown of the economy? Is it actually the stock market that tops out first, or is it the unemployment that actually bottoms out first and we start to see the negative spiral? And now you said to me by the beginning of this show, I could show a few charts, but actually the whole notion of that the stock market knows best and tops out first is wrong. And that is actually something that I think is interesting, that it's a dogma that has been played out for many years. But if I just show you a little chart here, then we can take a look at what happened into the financial crisis.
Share your screen, sir. I'm ready to see as many charts as you got.
Yes.
Sir. Okay, let's go.
Excellent. Good. So what do I call the liquidity test here? The people that believe that we'll just have, a lot of stimulus coming in and then we'll all be fine. See, into the 2007 crisis, where we had the largest financial recession and the biggest decline in the GDP in a long, long time, we actually did see that there was a lot of stimulus coming in. We saw that the balance sheet was expanding by 30% from 2003 until 2007. What we did see also was that when the parties get going, we still saw that the unemployment rate was slowly bottoming out and then moving up. And this is the deterioration of the economy that I talk about. Where does that come from? It comes because the interest rates are too high, which means that the personal interest payments on debt is higher and higher and higher, which means that the ordinary people are not stop spending money, but they cut off luxury goods and then they cut off more, other necessities at later stage. And then you see that it starts to move up and the negative spiral gets going. The Fed says all the time, well, wait, we're going to save it. So we're going to cut rates. And they did that all, even in 2008 in the financial crisis, when we already had the recession going. They said, we'll make sure we don't get a recession. They do that every time. And the stock market, guess what? It topped out in October. But that was already where you saw that the economy was deteriorating.
Can I make a point here?
The notion.
Can I make a point specifically around this cycle? Because this was the 2008 cycle. But can I make a point that in this cycle, there was something structurally broken in the economy, which the Treasury and the Fed couldn't fix. And that was that the housing market was completely, completely broken. And what happened is that they let the housing market actually collapse. What it seems like is that they since learned...
What has happened this time then? So well, now you have the NHB housing market index here.
Okay.
And what you see every time that when the rates goes up, the housing market takes a hit, and then you see unemployment rise. This is an inverted curve, so it rises here.
Okay.
Then, because and some time passes by, because that's the deterioration of the economy as it slowly moves into the rest of the economy. You saw it through the financial crisis here. We saw, and then some time elapsed, and we saw the bottom in the unemployment rate, and it started to move up, and then it moved up fast. Now tell me what you see here.
Okay.
That I is the that. NHAB. That's the same thing you're looking at.
Yes, so that's
and if we look at this about the soft, this so we're looking at the same thing, and if you look at the soft landing, and everybody talks about a soft landing here, what we see every time when we have a soft landing, is that, and that's the only one we have had, is that the Fed cuts rate, and you also, by the way, this is the blue line we have here, that's the Fed fund rate, and here you have the 2-year yields. You see how they were not above the 2-year yields here; they actually were that they have been that the other times, but here they cut rates. And we did not get a recession. Why? Because, first of all, my business cycle model had not flashed a signal at that point. It didn't flash it there. But second here, we also saw that the unemployment rate was actually continued down. There was no continue. And also, we did not have a yield inversion. What we have here, unemployment bottoming out and yield inversion. Unemployment bottoming out, yield inversion. Recession, recession, recession. Same
what
year,
is
same
the
year.
Yield? What even is the yield? What is the yield inversion? What? So here, what is the significance of the yield inversion in this model?
The yield inversion simply tells us that something is wrong. If you have, if it's like that, that you have the 10-year, the 2-year, for instance, then you see that the 2-year starts to move above the 10-year, then the market is telling us something is wrong. We are more worried about what is going to happen in 2 years time frame than we are in the next 10 years.
Okay.
So every time we see that, we should be worried. And guess what? We have had the most massive yield inversion we have ever seen, bigger than 1929, bigger than 2007, bigger than anything we have seen. And if I compare these scenarios here, looking at does what we have over here look like this, or does this look like what we have the other times? I say it looked like what we have the other times, only this time it's bigger. And what I started by saying is that we have the biggest financial bubble ever. The valuation levels are perfection. We have 200% on the market capitalization to GDP. In 2007, we were at 107%. In 1929, we were 107%. In 2000, which was a laughable bubble, we were at 129. We are 200% now. So why is it that we are everybody getting bulled up? Then we see that the economy is slowly deteriorating. We see the business cycle rolling over. We see that, for instance, continuous jobless claims bottoming out, like what we have seen into every recession. We see that if you look at the structural unemployment, the numbers of weeks that people are unemployed, first of all, it's historically high, higher than we have had into, you know, many, many years back. And it's moving up, which is what it does every time we have a slowdown. Why do we see that if you look at the sample recession indicator, that we have exactly the same signal we have seen every time we get into a recession?
And
why do we see that
every time
when we
get into a recession, do we have a stock market correction every single time? Like, I mean, I get that this signifies a recession. The question is it every time we get a recession, do we get a stock market collapse? Or does sometimes the stock market say, okay, there is a recession, but we can see right through the recession and we're actually looking at what's coming out of the other side of this washing machine?
But isn't it that a little, you know, utopic to think that now we have 200% valuation levels and we think that the market is going to think, oh yeah, let's just power through this. What if it's just a normal cycle and a normal seasoned recession is a 50% decline in the stock market? What if it's a worse recession? Because we actually see that the housing market is taking a toll and we have the largest bubble ever, then we are actually going to see a decline in the NASDAQ, like what we saw in 2000, which was an 85% decline.
So do you have a
what
chart?
If we not just, where's the positive? Just show me the one thing that with all these indicators here telling me this is wrong.
So do you have a chart that basically correlates recessions with stock markets? Have you got that one that says, look at the stock market, look at this period of recession, look at the stock market, look at this period of recession. Do you have something like that?
I'm not sure I have in this presentation here. What you see, though, if you have when you have a stock market top, you know that's around the time when the Fed cuts. When the Fed starts to cut, it's because something is wrong. When Fed cuts, something is wrong. Now the Fed is cutting, and we see the unemployment rate is moving up, and we see the consumers are struggling because of the personal interest payments. Why would I conclude that the market would continue up from here? That would be a contrarian conclusion based on what I show you here.
Okay, so with that in mind, and now I want to go back to your thesis and to your chart. So this is the chart that you tweeted. What you said yesterday, you said, if the monthly candle ends like this today, then there is a risk that Dow Jones has already topped out already. Now, question, what were you looking at on the monthly candle that said ends like this? Were you looking to see if it would break through the range? What were you looking at on the monthly to make you feel that it needed, you said it ends like this?
It's like this. It means that it starts, it's a reversal candle. So what it does in the beginning of the month, it moves up and then it's not, and it moves lower and it actually ends up at the low and actually at the very low of it. And what you also see is that it ends at the Fibonacci level, which is quite saying also to me. As I said also, I don't think necessarily this would be the top, because if you saw into, you have the same candle in January 2020. So if you look at 2020, you will actually see it's the same candle. And then you had just a slight higher in February, and then you had the decline. And you can see that also in other times. This was Corona and blah, 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 but it's the candle analysis, the same thing. So if you go back in time and you look at these candles, these are associated with market tops. So I'm saying we do not necessarily seen that the top is there. And as I said also, it could go to 44.5 on the Dow. And I think, and I'm along also still the you know, both crypto and also the stock market, tech stocks, but there's an end coming to it. And the end is getting closer, very much closer. And if you look at the market, the NFP numbers today, I mean, those are terrible. Those are terrible numbers. These numbers, you never seen below 100,000 without it developing into a recession at some point. Never. So we are really not in a good place with the economy. I really, you know, would like to see that green shot that everybody seems to be seeing.
Henrik, I don't know why, but the crackle has come back. I don't know if you can maybe try and just adjust your mic again, but that crackle's come back. And it's for some people, they're complaining that it's hurting ears. Meantime, if you can fix that, we'll just quickly go. We'll go back to just look at the markets for 2 seconds. I do want to just quickly look at where we are. We're at Bitcoin nearly back at 71,000. Let's quickly just look at the bubbles and just see what's going on. Radium, Solana up. I guess Celestia. I told you guys about Celestia. I mean, this is what I've put onto our list. I'll give Henrik a second just to do that. Is your mic fixer?
Yeah, I'm not sure, man.
Still crackling. Yes.
I'm not sure what's going wrong here. Right. But I don't have a mic in that, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Not feels okay.
Sounds better from my side.
Yeah, not feels okay. Okay, so let me ask you a question. So you said that how would you position yourself right now? If this is your theory, how do you position yourself at this stage of the cycle? Are you now exiting all your stock market position? Are you exiting all your stock market risk position? Are you going more into crypto? Are you starting to exit all risk assets? How does this theory, this thesis translate into moves on the investment chessboard?
So I have, I'm still long crypto. I'm still long Bitcoin. I have a target of Bitcoin of 115,000 to 123,000. It's been standing for quite some time. I say it's going to develop very, very strong, very, very fast, and it's going to happen soon. And I think you may be liking what we see into the next few days here, because I think we're going to see an all-time high, and I think it's going to blow right past it. But I think people will be starting to expect much more of it. And I think it's going to come to an end, and a very painful end. So I'm not exiting any crypto investment right now, but I'm very aware and also aware what the dollar is doing. I think the dollar is going to decline now. But when the dollar bottoms out at much lower levels than we are at here, 95 to 97 is what I see on the Dixie, then I think you're going to see the deflationary bust of a lifetime. And that's meaning that a lot of positions that are crypto, that is stocks of all sorts, are going to get, you know, really hammered at this point. And we are talking about something that is less than 6 months away.
So with that in mind, so if you think that the Dow's topped, how do you reconcile that the Dow's topped but Bitcoin will go up? Like if the Dow starts, let's say the Dow takes a 10% smack tomorrow, we'll go from 44,000 all the way back down to 40,000.
But that's not my thesis. As I said also, if you look at it again, in what I'm saying is that we could see, and this is that when you see a candle like this, you need to be aware and then say, we are getting closer to our top. Maybe this is the top. Maybe we're getting closer to the top. But what I'm saying is that we could see 44.5 and we could also have ended it here. I cannot say that for certain, but we are not going to see something that is going to blow past this as I see it. So we're going to go to 45, 46 and something like that. What I'm saying is also that you're seeing a rotation, which is also a normal thing you see into the final phase of a business cycle, is that you see a rotation. You see a rotation from the foreign markets, so from the Danish market here, people are pulling their money out of the Danish market and putting it into the US market because it's perceived as a safe haven. That is what we see all the time. Every time we have a recession or a slowdown, because everybody thinks, oh, the US is going to power through. And we also see that from other markets around the world. So you see capital coming into the US, and that will power the US for a certain amount of time until the economy catches up. So I say NASDAQ is going to go to 23,000, 24,000, maybe even as in a top, maybe even 24,800. So that could be a very big top on the NASDAQ. So it's a huge move from the NASDAQ here, as I said. And I think that is what you're going to see into the crypto blow-off top as well. This is the very blow-off top we're going to see driven by liquidity.
So
liquidity and the dollar coming down.
This is actually sounding a little bit more positive now, because when I first phoned you to come on the show, I was like, okay, this is like he's calling for the end of the blow of top. I think what you're saying is that it's the beginning of the end of the blow of top. And the beginning of the end of the blow of top means money flowing into higher returns, which is higher risk, which is NASDAQ going up, crypto going up. But then the music's going to end, because that's like the last part of the cycle. And that's where the music ends. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, and I'll say that, you know, if you look at my tweets, I've been very vocal and very clear on this. I say 6,300 on the S&P as a maximum. I say that we get 24,000 on the NASDAQ, and I say 115,000 to 123,000 on the Bitcoin, and some of the cryptos are going to do, you know, tremendously well. But we have to say there's a difference between understanding that this is something that is blowing up on pure air. And then, you know, and it's a hurrah and everybody will be happy and euphoric. And then saying that, you know, we are going to continue this for a few years. This is something that is a very short lasting, and people need to get out and do time here if they want to save their money.
So let's play.
So this is what I'm trying to say.
Let's play a little game here. So, I mean, what you're saying, I know that you're looking at the charts. The charts are telling you the story, right? And we always say that if you show me the charts, I'll show you the news, right? So like the news is going to come out to back the charts. So I think what you're saying is, if I were to take your chart thesis and bring it into a fundamental thesis, you're kind of saying, look, the charts are potentially telling you that there's going to be a Trump win in the elections, potentially, because that would be good for Bitcoin and risk assets and maybe less good for the Dow Jones. So like money will flow. If Trump comes in, probably more money will flow into higher risk products. But you're saying that that would be a temporary pump because something has got to back the euphoria of the election win. And you're saying that potentially that's where the system is going to fall short. And that will eventually lead to the markets being very, very, very disconnected from the reality. And that might cause the crash, right? Is that a fair...
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Trump Harris, because you could also say if the Democrat comes in, they also often have a tendency to spend more money. Mm-hmm. So maybe the markets will take that into us as positive. So this is about where the narrative will also always try to chase what you see in the price action, and they'll be horribly wrong in the narratives, and then they'll say, okay, it's because of. I mean, I don't do the narrative, the fundamental. I look at the charts and I see that we're going to see a very big move. Whoever comes in, there's going to be a narrative that will follow that. But yes, the markets will going to be normally after elections, we see a very powerful move. And that is what we see also, you know, lining up for. I think Bitcoin is going to do tremendously well. I think we can be above 78,000 on Tuesday when we have the election. I mean, we can have a good move here the next few days. So I am not bearish right here, right today on those markets. If you ask me if I am on other markets around the world, yes, then I think they have topped. And that is the problem. That's the also the part of the equation that it's not just about the US, and the US will not be able to stand alone. And you always have this rotation into more and more risky assets right at the end of it. So whatever kind of narrative comes out and we'll chase this, I think the top is going to be there. But we have to endure it because who doesn't like a 50% rally in Bitcoin?
What about the timing? So like, I mean, do you have a sense of timing as to like how long we have for the, you said Bitcoin will go from where it is now, which is 70,000, 71,000 to 125,000, or between 100 and 125,000. And you've also said you use the words pretty quickly. When you say pretty quickly, give me is it pretty quickly like 1 month, pretty quickly like 3 months, pretty quickly like a year? What's our time frame here?
But we just can look into what we've seen into previous tops. So what do we see? We see the last 3 months of the top. We see the Bitcoin develops with 100% of 100% easily. So I think in the last 5 weeks of the 2017 tops, you actually saw 240%. If you look into the top in 21, you actually saw 112% in 7 weeks. So would I be crazy to say that in 5 to 6 weeks, we could see that Bitcoin is at 112,000? That's probably be my guess.
Okay, into December. So you're saying that we're going to go into this part of the bull market, which is, this is, by the way, a weekly chart. You're saying we're going into this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks where we're just going to smash the blow off top. What would invalidate, what would invalidate this thesis? So I want to go back to your chart here and say, okay, in the event that the Dow Jones breaks up above this upward trend line, let's say the Dow Jones breaks through, in this case, 45, 46,000, would that invalidate the thesis? Would you say then that we're in a new cycle potentially, that we've broken through this cycle? Like, you know, you got to be open to the thesis.
Pretty bad analysis, right? If one chart could topple the whole thing. And this is also what I was asked back in 2022 when I was asked, why would you see the bull market? What will invalidate yours? It's always me who has to say what will invalidate it. Well, what I think will invalidate it, if we could actually see that the business cycle was turning up here and not down. And what we see right now is that the leading indicators have been telling us for 24 months that something bad is coming, just like they did in 2006, 2007, until the recession came. Then we have the coincident indicators, which are then following along. And you cannot make those turn up. So it's not like we can say, oh, we just get something, or Trump does something, or anybody else does something. The business cycle is a super tanker, and it's turning. And that super tanker will now turn, and there's not too much we can do about it at this point here.
Is there nothing we can do about it?
And so on, and the invalidation. But it's just because my model is based on 100 different charts, so it's difficult for me to say that. And for the business cycle model, which is actually telling us that we are moving down. So if you're telling me what will invalidate it, I need to see my business cycle moving up quite suddenly. It never happened in 75 years.
I mean, so no, you're saying no amount of Fed stimulus, no amount of Fed loosening now, I mean, would basically create a scenario where all of a sudden you look at this and you go, no, this is not, this cycle is not going to work. This theory is not going to work.
But it never did. It never did. Every time we see the stimulus coming out, we have seen the recession. We've seen recessions anyway. So I'm just trying to say, well, if we could just see when it's actually worked at a point where we have a recession signal and we actually see that it's moving down, where did we not see a recession setting in and a big crash in the market? We did always.
So next
this
question.
About saying that the Fed can come and we're a little magic stick and then, you know, send some money in our direction and then everything will be fine, does not understand that first of all, there's a huge lag from the monetary stimulus until it actually gets down to it. But if you also have people, ordinary people, having lost their jobs or at least have seen inflation going up, yield spike and so on, if they get a little savings in their payments, are they going to spend that money immediately? Because if they don't, then it doesn't work. Then okay, monetary policy is impotent. And they know that. That's actually the Keynes problem. That we ask about that. What will happen the day when the people are not asking, is actually starting to use the money that you're stimulating with? Oh, in long term time frame, we're all dead. This is the point we're starting to get to. We get into the point where people say, yeah, well, fine, Fed, that you're saving, but you actually saw inflation going up last time. I'd rather save this money for a rainy day.
Okay, so, I mean, do you think, so first of all, I want to ask you a question. So you said that we're going to get this like 5 week blow off top on Bitcoin. And that, you're saying, would be your first sign to exit. So if we get this like massive blow off top after the elections or whenever, and we get this move from 70 to 100,000, then that's confirmation of your thesis. Then what you would say is, when we get to between 100 and 120,000, take your profits. That's what I would do.
That's what I would do, yeah.
And you'd go back into cash and wait for the reset, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and that's going to be a little more difficult this time, I think. And that's probably for a whole new show. I think, you know, there is, that you can do so much with easy money. And I, of course, what they're going to do, and everybody here on the show listening to me saying this, Henrik, you know what happened in Corona. They will come blasting with money and they are going to, you know, kill yields and so on and so forth. Guess what? What can happen then? First of all, if the consumer does not start to spend it, we can have a problem about that, because then you will not see the effect into the economy. Mm-hmm. Even if there is a lag in that, it's enough to actually crash the market further, because if the unemployment doesn't start to move down from those levels that we're going to see it spike into, then you get what is called stagflation. And I think we could actually see that being offset. So first of all, the Fed is already horribly late. So the deflationary phase is all, it's coming. It's coming for us. That then they will start to, they will react, and it will only be a matter of time when they react. We have to think that even in the financial crisis, when they had to see a huge bank, investment bank, actually collapse before they did it, but they actually had the signs of something before that also. We had the Bear Stearns in March, but they then started to print money. And this time around, they're going to do it faster. Yes, but we can easily have 5-6 months from now until when they do that, because already now we're just sitting here talking about 25 basis point on the 5th, 6th, and 7th in terms of what kind of rate cut they should do. They are so far behind the yield curve that it's already way too late, and that's what's going to crash the markets, unfortunately.
So what do you think they're going to do at the next meeting? Because I mean, here's the predictions of the thing. They're going to go to 4.5 to 4.75, which I think is a 25 bips rate cut. So they're talking about
it's only 25.
So you think that the Fed is going to deliver 25?
Yes, I think they're going to deliver 25, but it's, again, way, way too late.
And do you think that if they delivered another 50 and then like maybe even another 25 before the end of the year, you're still saying, sorry, guys, even if you reduce by 200 basis points, you've missed the boat here?
But first of all, let's look at what is realistic. And that what they will do is that they can do 50 again. But they also did that back in 2007 and 2008. And they tried to cut it as fast as they could without looking panicky. Because, of course, if they cut it to zero tomorrow, it will be another kind of matter. Then people will probably say, okay, they do not have their shit in order. They do not know what they're doing. So they cannot be like that. We cannot do like these crazy things. So, but the problem is that they've started out so late that it becomes panicky what they got to do. And yes, they are way behind still, even though we've seen the 2-year yields coming up somewhat here now. I still say that they are way behind that curve, because if you look at the consumers, they are struggling. And that's why we have also now that the unemployment rate is starting to be not the unemployment rate didn't move up today. The participation rate did fall a little. But we saw that the NFP numbers coming out of 12,000. It's a horrible number.
Low number. So worst NFP in years, I think.
I mean, a year?
I'm saying the worst non-farm payrolls that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, it is. And you know, when we get below 100,000, it's always, you know, because we have direction towards a recession. Always been that like that. And if you look at the revisions you had from the early months, you also lost jobs there again. And if you go one level deeper than that and you look at the household survey compared to what we see at the BLS, there's a 1 million job difference, a 900,000 difference in how many jobs has been created. So the people actually accepting the jobs and the jobs that they say they have created, there's a difference of 900,000. So the economy is not so strong that everybody trying to say it's actually not good. And that's why I'm saying it's you know, we can talk so much about how we want crypto to move and liquidity and all that. It's down to the real economy, labor market and the housing market. This is the real economy and the consumer in that.
I'm going to take your advice here. And I'm going to say that I'm going to believe you that the thesis is right when Bitcoin starts going for those rampant 5-week candles, which I hope we're going to get. Tell me quickly, once I take my profits, what should I put my profits into? Must I put my profits into cash and start earning treasury yields? Must I put my profits into gold? Where should I put my profits? Because I'd feel very uncomfortable taking profits on the Bitcoin at 120,000 and then not actually having anywhere to put the money. So where would you put the money whilst this collapse is all going on?
So first of all, sometimes, and I'm not advising you to do that necessarily, but sometimes a 0% per year is good. If the market drops by 50, that's good to have zero. But what I want to say is it's also depending on your timeline. And again, if you have 5 years timeline, it's one thing. If you have 1 year or 6 months, it's another thing. But I think the whipsaw that we're going to see in first a deflationary, first a blow off top, like, you know, crazy, and everybody will be brought in on that side. Then if you see the decline, the deflationary collapse that we're going to see, then you do not want to be in equities. You do not want to be in crypto. You do not want to be in Bitcoin. There you can probably be in treasuries at that point. But if the Fed then moves in and do this extreme stimulus that I expect they do, then at some point you do not want to be in treasuries either. So I cannot tell you right here, right now, what you want to go. This is the whipsaw we're seeing at the very end of these things. We have moved, and this is actually quite interesting. If you look at the very long perspective, and you look at the momentum of the bond market, we have moved into what is an inflationary period now, inflationary regime. This is why you see Druckenmiller and Paul Tudor Jones and others going out and saying, oh, we're going to short the bond market right now. Why am I saying all this? Because this is going to influence everything we see. Everything we have in terms of knowledge of how the market works for the last 40 years is going to change now, because now we'll have a regime where inflation will be moving up. Not straight from here, and I say inflation is going down. I actually call for deflation, but it's going to come up at into the late part of this year.
Okay, so I mean, look, I must say it's been an eye-opening discussion. I won't lie to you. I mean, I've certainly learned a lot. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to track this move, and as soon as we start moving up to the blow off top, I'm going to bring you back here again, because then you can tell me how it's playing out and whether it's actually time to take the profits, or whether I should carry on letting the position ride a little longer. The problem for me is every cycle I've landed up riding the cycle too late, and I just want to make sure that I don't make that mistake again. So I'm gonna definitely call you back on that. Henrik, first of all, thank you very, very much. Second of all, guys, if you want to follow him, the links are below, into his Twitter and all the other socials. All the links are below. Sending you much love, my friend. You were an emergency show for us today when we saw the tweet. You were an emergency show, but I think it was really, really good. Thank you. Comments here are absolutely, absolutely fantastic. To you guys, so first of all, I'm glad. I see you guys have really, really, really loved that. Someone says Ryan looks like he's sobering up on camera. So someone says good argument. Henrik's the real deal. He's the real, real, real deal. I hope you've enjoyed it. I loved it. We did have an amazing, amazing, amazing Friday banter for you. We spoke to Joey Krug from the Founders Fund. And Joe McCann, who's an epic, epic, epic guy. And he's one of the big guys from Asymmetric. And so because we don't want to lose that show, I'm going to drop that show tomorrow in about 20 hours from now. And that's going to be here on the main channel. I'm going to drop that show for you guys on the main channel. That's going to be a really, really, really dirty degen show where these VCs actually take you inside their wallets and show you what their biggest holdings are. I was like, this is like one of the craziest shows that I've ever done, the one with the VCs. Because yeah, you've got a VC from Founders Fund, Peter Thiel's fund, and he's showing you the inside of his wallet pretty much. He's basically showing you his DGEN picks. And I'll tell you one thing, it blew my mind to see the meme coins this guy was holding. You wouldn't believe it if I showed you. You wouldn't believe it. But that is for tomorrow. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Please remember, guys, don't be... Josh, you're rushing me, bro. Don't be like my friend who got killed. Go get yourselves a NordVPN. Also remember, there are Black Friday specials now on Bitfunded. The Black Friday specials work like this. These are all the winners, by the way. These are the guys that actually got paid from Bitfunded. If you buy any two challenges, now you get one challenge for free. So you should go and do it. Go and do it as quickly as possible. There's a link below to Bitfunded. I will see you guys again tomorrow. I've loved the show today. I hope you have too. Until then, trade well, my friends.